Hey guys, we're continuing our journey to deep inner peace, and today's a tough one. It's so hard that most people don't do it, which is why so few people have deep inner peace, because you have to take this step of discipleship to live in the peace of Jesus. And it's the teaching of Jesus about forgiving, letting stuff go, and moving on with your life. Ouch. And it's a step to peace and a mandatory part of following Jesus that's actually kind of fallen out of style. I mean, we live in an era where we've come to see it as virtuous to focus on past wrongs, even if it's for things that were done hundreds of years ago. We actually celebrate reveling in resentment. And it's no wonder why no one has peace. Well, today, we're going to talk about exactly how to not only forgive, but how to keep any resentment at all from taking root in your soul so that you can know a peace that you maybe never even thought possible. Now, we deep dive into how to forgive in our program, As We Forgive Those. We'll link to that in the show notes below. But today, I want to give you a crash course in just about 30 minutes that'll change your life. Buckle up. I want to start by talking about a hero of mine, a little girl, Maria Goretti. She grew up in the late 1800s on a farm in Italy. And her dad died when she was really young, so she had to work really hard to help feed her family. And by the time she was 11, she was a well-formed, prayerful, hard-working Catholic. Her neighbor, Alessandro, not so much. He was about 10 years older than Maria, and he used to make advances at her. And she'd push him away every time. And one day, he caught her alone, he cornered her, and he tried to take advantage of her. And Maria's response was to be more afraid for his soul than for her life. She said, "Alessandro, what are you doing? You're going to end up in hell." So he picked up a 10-inch blade nearby, and he stabbed Maria 14 times. Doctors tried for 2 agonizing days to save her life. But before she died, she said, "For the love of Jesus, I forgive him, and I want him to be with me in paradise." Alessandro went to prison. He had a 30-year sentence, and he went into prison a hardened, unrepentant criminal. Until 8 years into his sentence, he got a vision of Maria. She appeared to him holding 14 white lilies, symbols of purity, one for every stab wound, and she gave each lily to Alessandro as a gift. He had a major conversion experience. He got out of jail 3 years early, and after 27 years in prison, he went straight to Maria's mom, knelt down in front of her and begged her forgiveness, and she forgave him too. He spent the rest of his years in a monastery. And guys, Alessandro was there at the Vatican with Maria's mom and her 4 siblings when she was canonized a saint in the Catholic Church. The first time a saint's mom and murderer were present for their canonization. Wow. Guys, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, a part of following him is to be a person of radical forgiveness. A person like St. Maria Goretti. And that is not easy. And I got to tell you, man, forget the massive sin that Maria forgave as she knew her life was draining out of her. For most of us, it's not even easy to forgive the little things that people do wrong to us, the little ways that they slight us or overlook us in our everyday lives. And there's a reason for that. And you know what? The reason isn't entirely bad. Forgiveness is really hard because we all have a keen sense of justice kind of baked into us thanks to natural law. Justice is giving someone what's due to them and being sure you get what's owed to you, what's due to you. And thanks to natural law, we have kind of a gut sense for what is and isn't fair and just and what balances the scales of what's owed to me and to other people from the time we're little kids. I mean, you have to teach your kids to be moral in a million different ways. You know, it's not obvious to them that they shouldn't stab their sibling with a pencil to get something that they want, right? People say, "Find your inner child." I'm thinking, have you been around all of my kids when they were little? They kind of just know that's not fair when something that was rightfully theirs was taken away from them. It's natural law. And Jesus ran into this all the time. He was approached in Luke chapter 12 by a brother whose sibling wasn't sharing the inheritance with him. And he said, "Lord, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. I mean, he owes me. It's not fair. Fix it, Lord." I'll tell you how the story ends in a bit. But a kid just knows that someone can't just take his toy. And a brother just knows. He's owed part of the family's inheritance. And it's our natural tendency, guys, to go through life perpetually calculating what's owed to us in justice and taking stock of every injustice done to us in the hope of protecting ourselves and somehow someday balancing all the scales of justice. But Jesus has a radical, uncomfortable, counterintuitive message when it comes to injustice and to sin done to you. Here it is. Let it go. Forgive. Move on with your life. Now, the New Testament was written in Greek, and the Greek word for debts is ophilema, and it means that which is owed. Debtors, ophiletes, means one who owes another. This is beautiful. That is the word Jesus uses when teaching the Our Father in Matthew's Gospel. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us what we owe you, God, in justice, as we forgive those who owe us. And Jesus tells us to ask the Father to forgive our debts exactly as much as, and no more than, no less than, ouch, exactly as much as we forgive what's owed to us. And he drives the point home with a teaching after he teaches them the Lord's Prayer. He says, "For if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." Ouch. Guys, the more mercy you show, the more you get. And he didn't just preach radical forgiveness. He modeled it. I mean, listen, people were gossiping about Jesus. They were looking for chances to kill him. And for doing what? For blessing the world. I mean, here's God who had humbled himself to share in our humanity and to share our pains and joys and to heal people and preach and show them the path to life and to eternal joy. And they want to kill him? You want to talk about not giving someone what's due to them? And what's his response? He just kept blessing people even more and healing and preaching and calling them to repentance and inviting them to himself even more. I mean, look, he had every reason to be self-protective, but he walked through life with no defensive walls around his heart. He had every reason to resent, and he just kept loving. And as he was dying in agony on the cross, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." For the people who had stripped him, tortured him, who were actively mocking him, who humiliated him, who were right there, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And his first words to his followers, who had abandoned him on the cross in that agony after he rose from the dead, "Peace be with you." Guys, I might have started the conversation with something like, yeah, so where were you guys? Thankfully, I'm not your Lord. Look, if you follow Jesus, you have to be like him. You have to be like Maria Goretti. You have to forgive like he did. And that's an easy concept until you actually have something real to forgive, until you've really been hurt, until you've really been wronged. Actually, all Jesus' teachings are kind of easy until you have to actually do them. Love people. Really easy until you meet people. Now, I'm going to teach you exactly how to forgive like Jesus did, even when, or maybe especially when, you don't feel like it, or even when someone's not sorry. But before I do that, I want to talk a little about what forgiveness actually is and what it isn't. Because if you have an aversion to forgiving, as you're hearing me talk so far, you have these protective defensive walls that are going up, it might be because you don't really know what forgiveness is. And you're confusing with all sorts of things that it's not. So I need to tell you what forgiveness is not to help you swallow this pill a little easier. Number one, forgiveness is not making excuses for people. That's not forgiveness, that's dysfunctional. A friend of mine recently, he was sharing with me about his childhood wounds and how he was in counseling because his dad was an alcoholic when he was growing up. And this is 30 years after the wounds that his dad inflicted on him. And in an effort to be a loving person and a good Christian and to forgive, he started rattling off excuses for his dad. "Sure, my dad was an alcoholic, but you see, his dad was an alcoholic too." And I said, no. I said, "Stop doing that, man. Your dad did not have to go the route he did, even though he was wounded. It's what you do with your wounds that counts. And you can love him and you can forgive him, but the hard fact is you just deserved better and your dad failed. And he missed out on the experience of being a good dad who could have and should have enjoyed loving you as his son and telling you you're precious and worthy and building you up, and that's what you deserved as a good kid. Hard stop. And guys, if you have dysfunctional parents, you become really good at making excuses for people. Why is that? Because the sad reality is that for a child, it's actually easier to make excuses for your parent. Even excuses that you internalize. Excuses like, they're acting this way or they don't love me enough because I'm lacking. I mean, if I just worked harder or jumped higher or was better or got straight A's, then my dad would pay attention to me. Then my mom would love me. And why do kids do that? Because that's actually, and this is really tragic, that's actually easier for a child's psyche than bearing the weight of reality and saying, yeah, my alcoholic dad or narcissistic mom simply isn't capable of normal human love and cannot love, you know, 7-year-old me as I deserve. But as adults, we need to get over that and face reality and pain. And that's not anti-forgiving, because here's the thing. You actually can't even begin to forgive someone until you actually own the pain that they caused you. Just head on, no excuses, feel it, and then maybe you could look at the thing that you have to forgive, the debt, the thing you were owed that you have to let go of. So forgiveness is not making excuses for someone. I'm not asking you to do that. Number two, forgiveness is also not saying, yeah, it's okay. Actually, here's the thing. If you have something to forgive, it's super not okay. I called my sister recently because I had wronged her. And I said, look, I'm just really sorry. And she gave a beautiful response. She said, oh, I love you so much. It's okay. I said, no, that's not what I want to hear. I need you to forgive me. And she said, okay, I forgive you. You know, here's the thing, guys. I think it's almost easier to sidestep the words, I forgive you, because it's so intimate. It's even more intimate in some ways than saying I love you to somebody. Because I forgive you says to that person, you have access to my heart, I'm vulnerable, and you actually can hurt me, and I know that because you did. But I forgive you. I let it go. Now that's some intimate conversation. So forgiveness is not making excuses for somebody. Forgiveness is not saying it's okay. And forgiveness is not the same thing as forgetting and lowering your guard. That's called reconciliation. Reconciliation is a fruit of forgiveness, but that fruit doesn't always have to happen in order for you to forgive somebody. I'm going to say that again. Reconciliation is one of the fruits of forgiveness, but that doesn't always have to happen for you to forgive somebody. And sometimes reconciliation, where your guard is lowered and you're just friends, sometimes it can't happen because the person isn't safe. Or maybe it can't happen because you're making a choice to forgive somebody who isn't even sorry. Yep, you can actually do that. Again, we're going to get to how to do that in a bit. So forgiveness is not making excuses for. Forgiveness is not saying it's okay. Forgiveness is not reconciling with. And four, finally, forgiveness is not you being a pushover. Don't let the world fool you. Don't fool yourself. It is the ultimate strength when you forgive. It's not strong that you hold on to past wounds. Look, you could go through life saying, I'm strong. I will not let you get away with that. I'm going to hold that over your head forever. But forgiveness is a higher power. It's one that says, look, I'm not going to let you make me an angry person. A person driven by the wrong that you did. A spiteful and distracted man. No. I'm not going to let you set that course for me. I won't let you take away my peace, my joy, my love, even my love for you, even if you're a jerk. That's strength, guys. That's the kind of strength and power Jesus showed on his way to the cross. Nothing anyone else did to him determined the kind of man he was in those moments. That's power. So, what is forgiveness? In the Greek, it's the same as the word to loosen. And there's a beautiful insight in this. It's choosing to loosen the noose, to let it go. Yeah, you have that person all tied up in justice, and you could hold them there, but you let that go. And you know what else you let go of? You let go of your anger, your obsession, your plotting, your demanding, your pound of flesh, the noose that you have on somebody else's neck that's also wrapped around your soul. Oh, and listen, you have a right to that noose. You have a right by justice. Someone owes you something, but forgiveness is when you say, I do have that right. I'm letting it go anyway. Now, before we get into how to, I got to tell you, when you do that, there's two huge things that forgiving does for you, which is why I'm such a big fan of forgiving. It's out of selfish reasons. Number one, it gives you radical interior freedom and peace. Listen, when you don't loosen people of what's owed to you, you know what image comes to mind? A man who goes through life holding all these different ropes attached to other people. You end up being the person that's dragged down because you're holding so many human anchors. You know how much that slows you down as you try to run through life? Guys, it's just plain exhausting keeping score and tracking what's been done to you on the inside. I guarantee you that person who wronged you, that person's not thinking of you right now as you watch this video. So you need to move on too. No one gets away with anything in the end. I want you to trust me in that. And you should feel bad for that person, because if they've wronged you in a big way and they don't repent of that, when they stand before God, that's all going to become very clear. And I could say in advance, I just want to say to some of those people I know who have wronged me, gosh, man, it wasn't worth it. I hope you come to the Lord and repent of that. But I, for my part, am going to let it go because I don't want to be anchored by my resentment of you. Amen? Number two, and this is a huge one, it opens your soul to receiving the forgiveness of God. A forgiveness that's a free gift, a forgiveness you could never earn. Jesus told the story of a man who owed his master 10,000 bags of gold. I want you to think about that much money. Literally, visualize it. That's a lot of gold. And this guy wasn't a king. It wasn't royalty in the ancient world. I mean, there was no hope of him paying this off. It was totally impossible. So his master was going to have him thrown into slavery along with his family. But he begged. He begged that his debt be forgiven, gone, wiped away. And by one act of that master's will, the debt was gone. And he left a free man. But when he left the palace where he just got his life back, he found a guy who owed him some silver coins. He grabbed him and he choked him and he demanded his money back. I want you to think of the insanity in that story. When the master found out, he called the man back and he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? And he was thrown into jail. Jesus said, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Guys, you think of the insanity of the guy in that story, now think of yours. God has forgiven your 10,000 bags of gold. Every offense against God, the church fathers talked about this, because God is infinitely good, that offense is infinite. You can't possibly pay it back. And you're going to go ahead and demand silver back? These little offenses against you, a finite creature? No. Let it go. And I got to tell you guys, God could put up with all sorts of sin and dysfunction, and he has so much mercy. But if there's one thing Scripture is clear about that just gets under God's skin, there's one thing God can't stand. It's your lack of mercy toward other people in their sin and dysfunction and the ways they've hurt you when he's here actively forgiving you all the ways you've hurt him and put him on the cross. The church father, St. Caesarius of Ars, wrote, how can a man ask for himself what he refuses to give another? Duh. And then he wrote about how the path to receiving mercy is showing mercy yourself. It's the math of God, but it works to your advantage. A little silver forgiven is 10,000 bags of gold. It's the greatest investment ever. There's a great story from the Desert Fathers, the early church monks, and this was collected by Benedict Award. It's a story about a monk who sinned big. And a council of monks was called to decide what to do about it. And as the story goes, they assembled the brothers and sent a message to Moses, an abbot, telling him to come. But he would not come. Then the presbyter sent again, saying, come, for the gathering of monks is waiting for you. Moses got up and went. But he took with him an old basket which he filled with sand and carried it on his back. They went to meet him and said, what does this mean, Abba? He said, my sins are running out behind me, and I do not see them, and I have come here today to judge another. Guys, judgment's going to happen. You let God do that job. You do yours. You love. Okay, so how do you forgive? I had one of the most profound experiences of forgiveness in my life, where I learned what I'm about to share with you from a friend of mine, Father Ken Geraci. He visited my house while I was filming this program, Fearless. It's about overcoming fear. We'll link to that in the notes below as well. And because of our conversation and his prayer for me that night, I ended up filming a whole 4-part series with him the next day with almost no prep. I mean, it was an incredibly powerful encounter. And I've been using what he taught me that night ever since. So Father Ken has healing gifts, and he had come to my house actually to pray over my daughter, who has MS, and to have a beer with me. But he looked at me And he said, "Can I pray for you too?" I said, "Sure. I'll never turn down a good prayer, right?" And as he prayed, he paused. And he had just gotten a word from God in his heart. And he said, "You need to forgive someone." And I searched my heart and I thought, nah, I feel fine. I mean, like, yeah, I had some old wounds that came to mind right away. But I don't generally carry around gripes. And I for the most part, forgiven those people. And he said, "Yeah, sure. Okay, let's pray anyway." And he put his hand on my shoulder and started praying that I'd forgive. And immediately there was this floodgate that opened in my soul, and I found myself sobbing. And the crazy thing is, I didn't even feel sadness or anger. I just felt this boom, this instant power and this release. And then he stopped praying, and I was like, "What was that?" And he said, "Okay, I'm gonna lead you right now through a prayer to help you forgive. And I'm gonna teach you this prayer in a minute, guys. But look, before I teach you that, you might be kind of like me. You aren't brooding. You're a generally sanguine, kind of happy guy, right? Maybe like me, you're thinking, no, I've for the most part, forgiven the old wounds and hurts in my life. I'm not going through life brooding over everything. But guys, that's like saying I've mostly drained the sink basin in my house that just had a little bit of dirty water with food in it before I went on a two-week vacation. You get the picture? If you want next-level freedom, you got to pull the drain on the bottom of that sink and kind of just let all the gunk out. So I had just a little layer of gunk and scum in the bottom of my soul for 30 years. God does not want you to live that way. So guys, here's the prayer that Father Ken led me through. It's a prayer I pray regularly to keep that plug pulled and all the wrongs done to me just draining out. And it doesn't always feel good to pray this prayer, but the more I activate my will to say it, the more my feelings and feelings of freedom and peace start to follow and fill the place that was filled with resentment. So every time a resentment creeps in or a wrong is done to you, I want you to pray this prayer. And instead of teaching you the prayer, I'm going to shift gears right now from giving a reflection to leading you in prayer. I want you to actually pray this prayer with me. So take a deep breath. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I want you right now to close your eyes and envision Jesus hanging on the cross. And there's an angry crowd around him that's done so much injustice. But you're not part of the crowd. You are actually hanging next to Jesus on that cross, looking down at that crowd. And in the crowd, you spot someone. It's that person who hurt you the most. And he glances up at you and at Jesus, who's hanging there dying for him. And I want you to stay there just for a minute. Now I want you to pray this prayer with Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive him or her. He knows not what he does. I want you to say that out loud. Guys, it doesn't have to feel good to say that prayer. Just move your will and actually say the words. Say it one more time with me right now. Father, forgive him. He knows not what he does. One more time, this time from the depths of your soul. Release that person. Father, forgive him. He knows not what he does. Now, staying in that meditative state, I want you to fast forward to the end of time. Keeping your eyes closed, I want you to envision the final judgment, where the Lord is on his throne. And no one escapes their moment kneeling before that throne of judgment, no one. And you are sitting on a throne next to Jesus. And the door is open, and in walks that person who hurts you the most. And this time, he's not just glancing up at Jesus on the cross. No, no, no. He knows everything. He's clear-eyed. He knows exactly what he did. He knows exactly how it hurt you. He knows all the ripple effects that sent to other people of that pain that he inflicted. And he is kneeling for his judgment. And you look at Jesus next to you and notice there's a notepad opened up. And on that notepad is written all the ways that person hurt you. Now I want you to look up at Jesus and say these words. Lord, tear that page out of your book and throw it away. Guys, even if it doesn't feel good, especially if it doesn't feel good, say it again. Jesus, tear that page out and throw it away. One last time from the depths of your soul. Lord, tear that page out and throw it away. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Simple, powerful, life-changing. My challenge for you is to do that every single time you are wronged, whether it's a big wrong or someone cuts you off on the freeway and you just can't shake it. And for that person that you've done that for, when the feelings of resentment and the painful memories creep back up, I'm not saying not to deal with those memories in other ways in counseling if you need to, but this is a way that you can't overlook. Every time those feelings creep back up, do not let your feelings be the boss. Pray that prayer again. And I can promise you, the resentment starts to lose its power over time. It's flushed out and replaced by freedom and deep inner peace that takes its place. Look, the person that you're forgiving, maybe they don't deserve it. But I'm doing this because what you deserve as a child of God is inner freedom and peace. Guys, do this for yourself. You owe this to yourself. Now back to where we started. When a man demanded his share of inheritance, and he told Jesus, set things straight. The scales of justice have been tipped against me. That person is my debtor. They owe me. Jesus was almost painfully dismissive in the story. You can almost feel bad for the guy. Instead of addressing his concern, which was a valid concern, Jesus said, friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbiter? Then he just changed the topic entirely, and probably inspired by this guy's brother who was hoarding the inheritance, he started to teach against greed, and he said, take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions. Man, it doesn't even seem fair that Jesus did that, does it? And maybe in some ways it wasn't balancing the scales of justice in this life, but maybe, just maybe, Jesus knew that the brother who wasn't sharing the inheritance wasn't going to. And maybe he knew it wasn't worth this young man spending his life fighting to try to get it. Maybe he knew that walking away and letting it go is just the best strategy for your own life sometimes. See, Jesus knew that as painful as that injustice was, letting it go is less painful than a life spent trying to collect what's owed to you from people who don't want to give it to you. When you let go of what's owed, you gain the peace of Jesus Christ here and now. It's a peace that begins now, and it never ends. Whew. Guys, thanks for diving so deep with me today. May the Lord give you his peace.